Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in Jesus Christ. Amen. We should not expect to hear anything new this morning. Although the story of Job may not be oft repeated in Scripture, and when one preaches on the book of Job, one always has to wonder, does the congregation really know the story of Job? How this rich man with 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and myriads of servants, the greatest man in the East according to human standards, how in only 2 days he lost all of his earthly possessions. He lost his 10 children, and he was afflicted with boils and sores that drove him to the point of despair and death. And as he in our text here reflects on some of these things that have happened to him in his life, he paints the picture of life so dark that he cannot see any ray of hope, so far as it depends upon him and on the things that he sees and experiences around him in this world. Does not man have hard service on earth, compulsory military service, things that simply must be done whether you want to do them or not? Are not man's days like those of a hired man? He's not here to accomplish anything lasting for himself. Everything that he does seems for himself to be in vain. He labors through the day, eagerly waiting the rest at night, perhaps the wages that may enable him to get a little bread and water and be ready for more work the next day. Even as Job, in his bereavement and in his pain and physical sickness and suffering, has been driven to futility for many months and has spent night upon night in misery of body and soul, lying down and not looking forward to a good night's sleep, but to asking himself, how long will it be till I can get up again? And then tossing and turning and thinking and sorrowing and weeping and suffering, and finally, dawn comes. My body, he says, is clothed with worms and clots of dirt or scabs. My skin is broken and festering, pouring out the illness of my body. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle that goes back and forth pulling the cord, and then there is no more cord. The end has come. There is no hope. Remember, he says, O God. And by the way, our translator helps us out there a bit, because in the Hebrew there is no tetragrammaton or Adonai or anything else. It's just remember. But the words that he addresses can be addressed only to God. And so our translator says, remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. My eyes will never see happiness, that is, tov, never see anything good, anything blessed, anything which has God as its source, never see anything again. That's the way it is with life on this earth, life under the sun, natural life. There's nothing new. Paint the picture so dark that there is not even one ray of hope so far as it depends upon man. And I know that some of you out there can tell already what's coming next. You haven't said it all. You haven't shown the whole picture. In fact, you haven't even gotten to the most important point. Because the most important point is the God who protects and defends and upholds Job through all his trials and temptations, the God who rescues Job from all evil, the God who gives Job nothing but good and blessing and happiness. Now, let's face it, there's not much gospel in the text. But the text does use words like end, in the end there is no hope, like skin, my skin is festering, like flesh, my flesh, my body is clothed with worms and scabs and clods of dirt, like eyes, my eyes will never see happiness again. And we can take a concordance and look through Scripture and the book of Job and find where words like that occur elsewhere. And one passage, lo and behold, that we come upon is Job 19:25-27. I know that my Redeemer lives and that at the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, I will see him in, I myself in my flesh will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns for this. Hope, confidence, eyes, skin, flesh, and they're all there. And they're gospel. Because Job knows that though God slays him, yet will he trust in him. There is hope, not in Job, not in the things that Job sees around him in this world, but there is hope in the Redeemer, the one promised way back after the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the one who will take Job's guilt and all our guilt upon himself and become sin for us, the one who takes our punishment from us and suffers it himself in his skin, in his flesh, in his soul. The one who rises in triumph over our terrible enemies of sin, death, and hell, and gives us his victory so that we live in accordance with his will and under his blessing forever. So there's really nothing new. Job paints a dark picture, looking at himself, what he deserves in the world around him. But he doesn't paint the whole picture. In fact, in this pericope, he doesn't even touch upon the most important part. But that same Job declares to us the gospel of our Redeemer, the one who rescues us from the things of this world and our own sins and sets us on high with him as his children and friends and companions. So we can close by noting the text and its strong emphasis on law and rejoice that today at least the hymns have gospel. Amen.